Are you convinced you're addicted to Instagram or another social media site? Well, you may want to reframe your thinking because you're making it even harder to quit. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back in a snap after this.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
Social media addiction does exist, but it's not as common as people think. And labeling yourself an addict doesn't do you any favors. Take Instagram users, for instance. Only 2% of them exhibit signs of clinical addiction, yet almost 20% of them falsely believe they're addicted. Those with this incorrect self-diagnosis report more failed attempts to quit the app and a greater sense of shame for their scrolling habits, as well as a general sense of hopelessness over their ability to stop. It just goes to show that the things you tell yourself matter because, whether they're true or not, they impact your behavior. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for AI-free private email at startmail.com.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
So, hi there. Did you go to the gym today? I intended to, but I didn't go. And why did I not go? All right, I want to talk to you. This is Dr. Catherine Albrecht. This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show. And I want to talk about habits. I want to talk about behavior. And I want to talk about addiction today because they're all kind of overlapping. And I would say in our society today that self-control is one of the key fruits of the spirit that we are all falling short with. Not all of us. I'm sure some of you out there have amazing self-control. And if that is the case, then more power to you. And I aspire to be like you. But if you're like the rest of us, then self-control is not something that you have a lot of. It is not something that our society places, I won't even say a whole lot of value on, I would say almost any value on. It's one thing, right? You walk the walk, you talk the talk, you talk the walk, you walk the talk, however that goes. Our society likes to talk a lot about self-control and being the master of your own destiny. But when it comes down to it, the structures of our society are designed in such a way to remove our self-control. And that has a whole lot of reasons. You want to remove people's self-control if you want to dominate them, if you want to control them, if you want to extract money from their wallets, if you want to take up their time and attention with things you want them to pay attention to, not what they themselves want to pay attention to. There's a lot of structural reasons that the powers, many of the powers that be, would want to make sure that you don't have self-control. But now here's the kicker. All right, here's the, I was thinking about this before the show. I had lunch with a friend today, and we were talking about our use of time. And she was sharing with me that she feels guilty about her use of time because she spends way too much time. Now, you know what I'm going to say next, because you probably spend too much time doing it too. What? Fill in the blank. On her phone, right? Way too much time on her phone. And way too much time on her phone doing what? Doing what? Well, same thing we all spend too much time on our phones doing, which is researching things, looking things up, learning stuff, right? But then that turns into a spiral. It turns into a slog. It turns into endless amounts of time spent just sucked up into the network. And as we were talking about it, and as I was thinking of research that points to the fact that many of these things have had designed into them, they've actually hired psychologists and addictive specialists in addiction, not to cure people from addiction or to make sure that their products are not addictive, but to do the opposite, to figure out the best way to hook people on their content. Now, what I talked about in the little opening vignette, that 90-second piece that goes out before every show today, was the number of people who think they are addicted to social media versus the number of people who actually are addicted to social media. And it matters a lot. The story that you tell yourself or the explanation that you give yourself matters a lot in terms of your self-control. And let me give an example. My example, my dishwasher has been broken now for, I don't know, like 2 weeks because I did not, I can fix it. I know I can fix it. It's got a clogged drain pump, according to the error on there. I can probably fix it, but I got to get down on my hands and knees and I can't pull it out because the dishwasher hose isn't long enough. And so I ordered a longer one and yada, yada, yada. All right. And probably just because I'm too much of a cheapskate to spend $250 to get somebody out here to repair it, because I can just do it myself if I ever get around to it. So in the meantime, I'm hand washing dishes, which is its own interesting experience of self-control. But when I went to figure out what the error code on my Frigidaire dishwasher was, and I think it was E10, I think that was the code, it was flashing E10 and it wasn't running. And what do, right? Your dishwasher's flashing E10. It's not running. What do you do? Well, you do what everyone else does in the modern era. You don't dig around through all the paperwork in your file cabinet looking for the manual of the Frigidaire that you bought a year ago. You don't. You just go online, right? And so you go online and you go to your search engine, which in my case is Startpage, but maybe Google or maybe whatever you're using. You go on your search engine and you type in Frigidaire dishwasher error code E10. Okay. Now, if you do that, what you'll get are a ton of YouTube links. And maybe down below you might get some that are actual text. But for the most part, everything these days, and I just rolled my eyes because I don't need to watch a video with you telling me to like and subscribe and telling me about your sponsors and spending so much time in the lead up to just tell me what the heck does the E10 error code mean? But like everybody else, I wound up clicking one of these YouTube videos. And here's the thing. Instead of the YouTube video popping up like it should, in just being the thing on your screen with the answer, the way too much content, but the answer in there eventually in a video. Instead of that, what do you get? I'm going to type it in. I'm actually sitting here on my start page. Hang on, I'm going to open a new start page window. Okay, I'm typing in, what does Frigidaire? I'll take you through this process. You can join me in the rabbit hole. Frigidaire dishwasher error code E10. I think it was E10. If it wasn't, we'll find something. We'll learn something new. Okay. So error code E10. I'm going to click on the YouTube answer popping up here. How to fix Frigidaire dishwasher error code E10. Let me tell you what pops up on my screen. What has popped up on my screen is a video, E10 meaning causes and solutions, and it's a minute 17 seconds long. But now here's the key. Underneath, there's comments. This one has zero comments. It's had 366 views. Was posted 4 months ago. But over on the right, guess what it's got? Okay, let me tell you what's on my screen, because what's going to be on your screen is going to be different. And I'll tell you why that is in a sec. So on mine, now you know me pretty well. You hear me on the show talking about the stuff I'm interested in. And so it's going to come as no surprise to you what sorts of things are showing up over here in my recommended other videos that popped up. So one of them, OpenAI showed up at my door. What are they hiding? here's why they're targeting, blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't show the rest. Okay. 1.3 million views. And it's got a picture of Sam Altman and a woman there looking a little concerned. And Sam Altman's kind of in the background. Okay. That's the first one. Another one. The hidden brain injury behind Jordan Peterson. I don't know why that's there. This tiny cat solved what the Huskies couldn't. IQ, dogs versus cats. It's got these little husky and a cat and some kind of little toy thing. Another one. I photographed Hillary Clinton and it was awful. Another one. Erica Kirk looking very shady. All right, this will give you a sense of what sorts of things I'm likely to click on. Another one, I'm in psychosis, psychotic episode caught on camera. Now, you know, I've done my last couple of shows on psychosis, so that's a topic I've looked up. Mary Tyler Moore in the green dress episode. Okay, so I'm actually, you may not know this, I'm going to do some shows on it coming up, but I have kind of an interest in celebrity lives, so especially celebrity lives from the past. So Mary Tyler Moore is one of them. How to change your eye shape with makeup. Yes, I am appearing, well, when I appear on YouTube, I kind of need to pay attention to what makeup I have on. So yeah, I've looked at that before. Here's another one. ChatGPT and a robot shows were close to disaster. Another one. A man asked AI for health advice and it cooked every brain and then dot, dot, dot. I don't know what's next. Hang on, I'm trying to see if there's anything else here. And then some just goofy ones that probably catch everybody. Oh yeah, liars, narcissists, and psychopaths failed the simple test. Okay, now, why am I reading you this? Because yours are probably different. If you go on, and you can do this experiment, maybe just text me and let me know what you see. Go on and look up Frigidaire Dishwasher E10 error code and see what appears below. A couple of the things below are about Frigidaire dishwashers and error codes, but most of them are about other things that I've searched for in the past. And this is where this came to my notice. My daughter has, my younger daughter has a friend who is her age, but male, and he's into basketball. And he says, you know, I go online to look something up for my homework. And the next thing I know, I'm watching, you know, basketball videos and how to improve my layups and all this and that. And the next thing I know, 2 hours have gone by and I've watched basketball videos. And I'm like, I don't ever get recommended a basketball video. Well, you probably don't ever get recommended anything like I do. Stay tuned.
Free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business. But if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, casting all your worries upon him, for he cares for you, he cares for you, he cares, he cares for you.
All right, I'm back. So, all of those videos that are placed there very strategically for me, knowing that I'm likely, after figuring out what my error code is on my dishwasher, to click one of them. And my friend's friend, or my daughter's friend, is likely to click on a basketball video. And you may be likely to click, well, my daughter clicks on cake decorating videos and room decorating videos. And you may click on, I don't know, music, you know, guitar technology videos, or you may click on 70s rock and roll music videos. Who knows? There's a huge amount of variety of content out there that we could click on. But here's what makes the modern internet so addictive and so easy to fall prey to spending 2 hours in there clicking is that, unlike in the past, when marketers had to kind of put content out there and hope that the target market was going to see it, now this is very specifically targeted and tailored for you. Now, why does this matter? Why is this important? Because if you view yourself as having poor self-control, if you view this as your fault, that you just don't have enough self-discipline, that you are just unable to stop yourself from clicking these videos because you lack self-control, and if you blame yourself, as all of us do, as they tell us to, then you will find yourself having a very hard time not clicking on these videos. Okay, that's what the opening story was talking about. However, if you recognize that that content was put there very specifically as bait, knowing that you would click on it and that someone else is to blame for your clicks, not you, then it makes it a lot easier for you when you find yourself 3 or 4 videos in to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. You don't fool me. I see that. I see that lure. I see that basketball video. I see that cake decorating video. I notice that AI video over there. I see what you're doing. Not going to do it. I'm not going to fall for it. And it empowers you. So what I want to do is I want to empower all of us to no longer spend endless amounts of time clicking on video after video after video, feeling unable to stop, and blaming ourselves that we're so low in willpower, we're so pathetic examples of self-control that we just can't stop ourselves. Because that mindset, that self-identity makes it very hard to stop, because you're like, I don't stop because I can't stop because I'm incapable of stopping because this is just what I do because I'm just a terrible person. I lack willpower. I'm awful. If instead you say, I am a competent person, and I am being manipulated. I am being manipulated. They are manipulating me. They are putting bait in front of me, but I am too smart to fall for it. I'm not going to do it. Now, I've taken this new approach, and I can't say it works all the time, but it works a lot of the time, and it's working more effectively the more I exercise this newfound muscle of saying, hang on a minute. I went on there to look up a dishwasher code, not to read about AI. I will do that later at some other time when it's appropriate, but it's not appropriate right now when I'm trying to fix my dishwasher. And that way you can nip the cycle in the bud long before you've spent an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours and your shoulders are aching because you're just watching idiot videos feeling like you ate a bunch of junk food. All right, now I want to talk about something, lest you believe that it may not be the case that this is intentional. It's very intentional. There is a field, and I want you to be aware of it. It's called neuromarketing, right? Neuro meaning the brain. All right, I'm going to just read you a little bit of this article here on neuromarketing. The key to understanding subconscious consumer behavior. Now, I'm going to jump to the chase real quick. I'm going to tell you what they are doing. So they take people and they put them in MRI machines. Now, an MRI machine images the brain, and they can image the brain in real time while showing people things they might click on, things they might purchase, things they might, those are the main things, I guess, things they might spend money on. And so they run advertisements and then they watch how the brain responds. Now, here's what's super interesting. So from the MRI, you can tell in the brain whether the decision-making process, that is consciousness, right? The conscious decision-making process is activated and lights up, or whether a deeper subconscious decision-making process that you're not even aware, I guess not decision-making, but just action, whether that lights up. And then whether the action portion of the brain lights up, the portion that's actually going to do something about it. Okay. Now, here's where this gets really freaky and I think completely unethical. So if they show you an ad and nothing lights up, then that ad's, you know, that's a thumbs down, not going to be an ad they're going to run. Here's where it gets weird. If they show you an ad and the conscious center of your brain lights up and then the action center lights up, versus an ad where the subconscious part of your brain lights up, the conscious part remains completely oblivious, and the action center lights up, they will go with the second ad. Because here's the thing, they know that if they activate your conscious thinking center, you're likely to think about the ad. Even if your action center lights up and you might be inclined to purchase, you're thinking about the purchase, and you might think not to make the purchase. You might think about the balance on your credit card. You might think about the fact that your husband just lost his job. You might think about the financial implications of making that purchase, and you might choose not to. But if the subconscious part lights up, activates the purchase behavior without your conscious mind, without your thinking process lighting up, well, then that's golden, because then they can get you to buy because your subconscious goes, do it, and your conscious thinking is not even involved, so you won't stop yourself. Isn't that awful? All right, now, knowing that, let me read you this neuromarketing. This is from, Idealogic Brand Lab. I love to hate these guys. All these marketers, just so unethical. All right, how do you best understand why consumers choose your brand versus a competitor's brand? Research tools like focus groups, interviews, and surveys provide unique and helpful insights, yet they have limitations. They keep us from getting a comprehensive understanding of people's behaviors, needs, and preferences that influence the consumer decision-making process. They mean get you to part from your money. Neuromarketing is often described as the future of marketing because it works to understand the subconscious behavior of consumers. It's becoming more and more apparent that this plays a key role in our ability to understand and discover underlying consumer needs, wants, motivations, and preferences. All right, my foot. My foot, because your subconscious is going to, let me go through this list. Your subconscious is going to need, want, be motivated by, and prefer things that your conscious mind, your willpower, your decision-making may say, heck no, I don't want that, right? Your subconscious mind goes, give me all the candy. Give me all the fun. Give me all the whatever. But your conscious mind goes, no, candy, that's going to, mess with my pancreas. I'm pre-diabetic. I can't be eating candy, right? So they want to bypass the part of your brain that says, I don't think I want to click on that. I don't think I want to do that. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to pay for that. I'm not going to splurge on that. I'm not going to gamble on that. Because your conscious mind is where your willpower resides. Your subconscious has no willpower. In fact, it's pretty stupid. It just has wants. That's all it has. Wants, needs, motivations, and preferences. That's all it has. It's a big want. It's a big black hole of want. And our conscious minds are in place to filter the big black hole of want to what is actually in our best interest. And so these sneaky, immoral marketers have found ways to use scientific understandings of the brain, not to help society, not to help human beings, but to harm us, right? This is unprecedented in the history of humanity, that we have had access to the actual inner functioning of the brain to be able to identify what is in the subconscious and how to get to it while not triggering the conscious awareness that it's being gotten to. That's what's disgusting. So if you find yourself making purchase decisions, eating food, doing things, and you're like, why am I doing this? Why did I just do that? It's not even why am I, well, sometimes you may catch yourself right in the middle of it going, why am I doing this? But more often you find yourself afterwards going, why did I just do that? And the answer may not be that you lack self-control. The answer may be that your subconscious was intentionally triggered and your conscious was intentionally not awoken to what was happening. All right, let me read on. In this article, we'll answer burning questions, that's actually on the text here, behind neuromarketing, such as, what exactly is neuromarketing? What tools and techniques, what are used for neuromarketing. Why is it so important? Is it a trendy buzzword, or is it changing the future of marketing? What exactly is it? Okay. By applying the combination of neuroscience and cognitive science to traditional marketing, we can augment our marketing endeavors for better results and greater success. All right, their success is your failure, dudes. This involves studying the subconscious responses and behaviors of the human brain and body when encountering marketing, branding, advertising, packaging, etc. The study of subconscious behavior reveals information that can't be derived from traditional forms of consumer and market research, right? So if you ask a group of people, hey, do you want to eat a bag of candy when you're pre-diabetic? They will think about it and they'll say, heck no. But if you trigger their subconscious to go, hey, bag of candy looking pretty good, well, the reason they're pre-diabetic in the first place is because they have their subconscious, the big black hole of want, has been saying to them for a long time now, eat the candy, right? So no wonder our willpower seems like it's failing. No wonder we feel like failures. No wonder we feel like we're not exercising willpower in the world, because they're intentionally structuring it so that we can't. And then who gets blamed? These guys? Heck no, nobody even knows they exist. We blame ourselves. And that's all of us. All right, this is widespread. All right, stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
God is in this place, truly. God is in this place, truly. Incredible, wonderful, holy.
All right, I want to talk about neuromarketing here. Interest in consumer neuroscience took off in the mid-2000s when business school researchers started to demonstrate that advertising, branding, and other marketing tactics can have measurable impacts on the brain. In 2004, researchers at Emory University served Coca-Cola and Pepsi to subjects in a functional MRI machine. When the drinks were not identified, the researchers noted a consistent neural response. But when subjects could see the brand, their limbic structures, the brain areas associated with emotions, memories, and unconscious processing, showed enhanced activity, demonstrating that knowledge of the brand altered how the brain perceived the beverage. 4 years later, a team led by a guy named Hilke Plassmann scanned the brains of test subjects as they tasted three wines with different prices. Their brains registered the wines differently, with neural signatures indicating a preference for the most expensive wine. In actuality, however, all three wines were the same. In another academic study, functional MRI scans revealed that when consumers see a price, they change their mental calculation of the value. When the price was displayed before exposure to the product, the neural data was different than when it was displayed afterwards, suggesting mental calculations. Oh, this product's expensive. It must be good. All right. coming back to the other article I was reading, these are the tools that they use to figure out how to bypass our brains. And hang on, let me see this one. There was a good description in here. Let me read this. Is it this one? I hate when I do this. I can't find it. Well, I'll read this anyway. Neuroscientists can read brain activity and predict decisions 11 seconds before people act. Remember I said there's an unconscious part of your brain, there's a conscious part of your brain, and then an action part of your brain. This is questioning whether we are actually exercising free will in making purchase decisions. In a study published this week in the journal Scientific Reports, this is from a couple years back, researchers in Australia were able to predict basic choices participants made 11 seconds before they consciously declared their decisions. How'd they do that? By looking at the subconscious area of their brain that lit up. So, all right. And then let me go back and tell you what the tools are. All right, so here's the tools. Functional magnetic resonance imaging. Used to detect blood flow in the brain associated with increased neural activity. The technology observes changes in oxygenated blood flow in response to cognitive tasks. Okay, it can measure certain levels of consumer engagement, like how people feel about a product or about its price. All right, here's another one. EEG, an electroencephalogram, is more cost-effective. It's also a neuroscience tool that looks into brain activity. They're also using eye tracking. This technique measures eye movements and tracks where subjects move their gaze. It's useful to analyze what captures people's attention, what confuses them, and how quickly they can recognize brand elements. Pupillometry. Eye tracking can't tell your emotions, but your pupils can. This is an eye tracking technique used to measure the dilation of the subject's pupils. So if, if you're looking at something that is really beautiful, your pupils will actually dilate or enlarge to take in more of that scrumptious image. If you're looking at something nasty and horrible, your pupils may slightly constrict in order to take in less of that nasty image that you're seeing. Therefore, looking at the pupils, known as pupillometry, can help marketers figure out the subconscious responses. You can't control that. You have literally no control over whether your pupils are going up or down or in or out or any of that. And so this is a way to determine what you're feeling on a deep level that you have no control over. Okay. Biometrics. For years, marketing researchers have employed biometrics to measure physical responses like online and digital experiences, TV, messaging, print advertising, products and services. And another one is facial coding. The facial action coding system, FACS, is software that measures subtle changes in facial expression used to measure a range of emotions and positivity or negativity. It's a cost-effective neuroscience tool that can help marketers understand brand perception and consumer emotions. All right. Why is it important? Here's what they write. Let's be real. Most of us don't put a lot of time into thinking about why we buy what we buy. And if we aren't sure about why, how accurate can our responses be in surveys and feedback? The purpose of neuromarketing is to uncover authentic reasoning and purpose behind consumer decisions. All right, now here's the problem. This can be used, I'm still trying to find my quote, it can be used to manipulate purchase behavior. It can be used to manipulate addictive behavior. It can be used to manipulate food consumption. It can be used to manipulate how you are spending time, whether it's on the internet, playing a video game, playing a slot machine, playing online gambling, whatever it is that you're blaming yourself for not having enough self-control to stop, there's a pretty good chance that some psychological testing and effort has actually gone into making sure that you remain maximally addicted to that. And so knowing that is super powerful. All right. I got a couple text messages coming in. Let's see if I can find them. I think this one, is this from yesterday? No, 5 minutes ago. Catherine, latest DSM manual does not mention any causes for specific mental illnesses. You really have your work cut out for you. I agree with that. They're struggling to find any cause for mental illness. They can find causes for structural damage to the brain resulting in particular outcomes, but mental illnesses like anxiety, depression, OCD, psychosis particularly, it's tough. They don't have causes for these things. And I've been saying all along, as I said on yesterday's show and all the last week or so, I've been saying it is demons. It's demons. All right. Here's another one. Let's see if I can find this message. No. Hang on. One more. This one's from Ray. Is neuromarketing the continuation of the thought of Edward Bernays? Oh, well, I'll have to look that up. And while I'm looking it up, I'll have to not click on other things. So thank you for the, the tip. I will look into that. All right. So this neuromarketing, it's not just neuromarketing. Neuromarketing is used by brands like Pepsi and Coke and like big national brands that are paying a lot of money to run ads on the Super Bowl for Doritos or things like that. The more insidious version of this is a version of inserting addictive characteristics into the content that we consume on a regular basis. And that can be everything from putting flavor enhancers into food, things that actually drive you to want to eat more and to shut off your satiation centers and make you not know when you're actually full or you've had enough. And that's why you can't just eat one potato chip, but eat the whole bag. I don't know if that applies to potato chips, but you know what I'm saying. It applies also to the videos, obviously, that we're clicking on. And so I want you guys to try this. I'm going to give you this as homework. The next time you are on YouTube and you are clicking on one thing and you're about to click on another thing that you did not intend to click on just because it's interesting, it's up your alley, and it's the kind of thing you're interested in, I want you to consciously, I don't let them just go to your unconscious, your subconscious, but I want you to consciously use your decision-making center and ask yourself, do I really want to spend 1 to 2 minutes reading about Britney Spears? Do I really want to spend 1 to 2 minutes reading about the latest chainsaw? Do I really want to, whatever it is, whatever your thing is, whatever it's holding out as bait. Now, I've talked to you about this before, about artificial intelligence, that AI will do exactly the same thing. It will tailor itself. It will tailor its interests in the same way a love bombing narcissistic psychopath will tailor their boyfriend or girlfriend behavior to become the perfect idyllic boyfriend or girlfriend for you by mirroring and echoing your interests and your communication style and your even body language. If you have your arms folded, they'll fold their arms. If you have your arms open, they'll open their arms. That kind of mimicry, that kind of chameleon-like blending into whatever it is that makes you go, wow, this is ideal. That is what all of these things are doing to us. And now we're adding in to social media the power of artificial intelligence, which is going to have your number because it's reading all your emails. It's reading, it knows every aspect of your life, especially if you're not using Start Mail and you're using an email like Yahoo or Gmail that's being monitored by AI and going into their vast database so that they can figure out even more precisely how to tailor their content, tailor it to bypass your consciousness and make you a slave dancing like a puppet on a string. So we need to get past blaming ourselves for this. We really do. I have spent hours. I was talking to my friend and she was saying she plays this one game. She's been playing it for years. I said, how much time do you think you spent on that? She's like, I don't know, thousands of hours. Well, I'm here holding up my hand too, saying, yeah, I've probably spent thousands of hours wasting time watching videos that I have really not, I mean, I have an interest in, but I certainly have no value. They bring no value to my life. Playing endless games. You ever played a game? I have this, I think I might have told you guys, the game that recently, I just deleted it from my phone, but it just sucked me in again, is a game, don't try to find this, all right? Can I describe it without you looking it up, please? It's like Tetris, but instead of them flying at you, you know, the little shapes flying at you at speed, it just hands them to you down below with all the time in the world to figure out where to put them. And I'm really good at it. but, you know, I'm cruising along and then I get to one, oh, blummer, I blew it. I can't put that piece there. And then what do? You click to play again and again and again. We're like mice with the heroin dose. Stay tuned.
Learn all about our new LifeWave stem cell regeneration patches by going to 1360khnc.com and click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. Also, listen for upcoming broadcasts of the LifeWave information programs that will be airing here on AM 1360.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day. 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com.
For I have chosen you. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up. I will hold you up. For I've chosen you, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up.
Hey, I'm back. All right, so join me in the chat room if you'd like to at Catherine-Albrecht.com. Click on the Listen Live chat link there under Radio Show, and you can hear my show. I also want to recommend, if you haven't been there yet, to check out the new website, realisgood.org. And on realisgood.org, I really want to encourage you to print out a bunch of the flyers that are available. I'm going to put them right there on the homepage shortly. I'll probably do that tonight. Make sure that you can get to those flyers easily. But for right now, you can click on Why Fight AI and scroll down, and you can see the printable flyer. Everybody I've given a copy to has said, oh my gosh, this is really important. People need to know this. So if you would like to tell people about the risks and dangers of artificial intelligence, that is a great way that you can just stick it in their hand and walk away and let them do the research themselves, and kind of sells itself, anti-sells itself. All right. Yeah, that's some AI there for you. All right. So talking about the sense of self-control and lack of self-control, I've been thinking about a broader topic. As you know, I have a doctorate in developmental psychology, and the field of psychology was originally developed as a way to just kind of understand, you know, what's going on with this brain thing. Why do people do what they do? The problem is that in a capitalist society, and I'm not knocking capitalism because the alternative of communism is certainly a deadly one. So I'm not putting any value judgments on this. I'm just going to state a fact. In a capitalist society, every single thing that gets developed, every single discovery that gets made will be used, if it is possible to be used, to extract money from other people. Right? That is my Catherine theory here. That in a capitalist society, if there is a power released, made available, that can be used to extract money from other people, it will be used to extract money from them. So the unfortunate part of this is that the insights of psychology, particularly the insights that were developed as researchers in psychology began to try to unravel the horrors of addiction in order to help people escape from addictions. Well, those very same insights about, oh, these are the things that are leading to addictions, and these are the things that get people out of addictions, those things that were developed for good purposes have been turned to evil. And they have been turned to evil by the people who profit from the addictions of others. This is why we have rampant sports betting in this country, online betting in this country that used to be illegal. It's horrifying that it is not, because that it's been made legal, because it's a really easy way to use all of the insights of addiction studies and build the addiction qualities in so that people will lack the willpower to stop bleeding all their money away through really pointless gambling. It's the same thing. In the same way that gambling apps want you to give them all your money, these other apps want you to give them all their time. You know, I was talking about the 1,000 hours that my friend and I have each respectively spent on our horrifying games. What would it mean if those 1,000 hours had been spent doing something else? Something else, learning a foreign language, learning to play an instrument, writing poetry, writing a novel, working out at the gym, fill in the blank, writing letters to friends, saying nice things to our kids, brushing our dogs, I don't know. Anything would be better than that. Because what do I have to show for the fact that I can take little shapes, little geometric shapes, and put them into a puzzle? Well, at the end of the day, and I will fully admit this, I've spent like 5-6 hours in a row playing this stupid game till my shoulders hurt, my thumbs are sore, and my back hurts, and I'm just sitting cramped in a position playing this idiot game. Why? Why? All right, these are the things I'm trying to untangle, because I'm just as human as everybody else, and I'm going, what in the world? So, you know, Paul in Romans says, I was just reading this today, it was Romans 8, I think. He says, I do what I don't want to do. Who will rescue me from this body of sin? The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. What's going on? So even Paul, back before the neuromarketers and the addictive specialists were enslaving people, even he was struggling with self-control, with willpower, with the subconscious brain that just wants and wants and is a black hole of want, 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 regardless of what's good for you, bad for you, good for your life, bad for your life. I walked into my kitchen one day, and I had been playing stupid games. And I go through phases. I'll go through like 2 or 3 months where I don't even touch it because I delete it and I don't. And then something stressful will happen, and I will go and I'll download it. And before I know it, boom, 3 or 4 days, I've just been like sucked into this vortex until I delete it again and go through the cycle. Yeah, it's awful, awful, awful. But in one of these cycles, I walked into my kitchen. And as you guys know, my dishwasher has been broken. I'll tell you now. I got a phone call out of the blue from the company that sold me the dishwasher, the store that sold it to me, because I've been like debating, what do I do about this broken dishwasher? And Sears is going to take 2 weeks to come out, whatever. And they said, your dishwasher is still under warranty. I'm like, why are you calling? Are you reading my mind? Are you spying on my kitchen? How do you know my dishwasher is broken? And they said, well, you bought it in March of 2025, and your warranty is going to be up, and we want to sell you an extended warranty after your Frigidaire warranty goes out. And I'm like, how did you know my dishwasher is broken? So they gave me the 800 number for Frigidaire, who's going to come out and fix it for free. And I, for like $200, I bought a 5-year extended warranty on this very fragile, very sensitive dishwasher that seems to break all the time. This is not the first time in a year that it's broken. And they'll come out and fix it free as many times as I want, or replace it with a new one. But I was like, thank you, God, because I lacked the ability to figure out what to do with my dishwasher. So you just had them call me. I was like, this is so, so amazing, so incredibly, wonderfully cool. But so whether it is fixing your dishwasher, whether it is, I don't know, just the addiction. All right. I walk into my kitchen with my unfixed dishwasher, which will soon be fixed. I have an appointment, I think, next week. No, Friday. They're coming to us in 2 days. Anyway, I walk in my kitchen, and I have not hand-washed the dishes. And the kitchen looks awful. There's dog hair on the floor. There's, like, dishes in the sink because they're not in my dishwasher, and I hate hand-washing dishes. I'm out of the habit of it. And I haven't done it for, I don't know, 20 years since I had a dishwasher. But I walk in there, and you know what the thought was that crossed my mind? And I want this thought to cross your mind. That's why I'm sharing and being so honest here and revealing so much about my own struggles, because I know everybody has them. I walked into my kitchen, filthy mess, right? And you know what? The thought that went through my head, this is, have you ever heard, this is the house that Jack made? I think that's how it goes. This is the dog that lives in the, I don't know how it goes. But anyway, those of you who are younger probably are like, what are you talking about? But I heard it growing up. I walked into my kitchen and I said, this is the kitchen that addiction made. Right here. This is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. Because the 5 hours that I spent cramped with my shoulders aching playing this stupid game, I could have been spending just one of those hours and my kitchen would be clean. I could have spent just one of those hours and actually gone to the gym. That's how I opened the show today. And by the way, today I didn't go to the gym, not because I was playing that game because I've deleted it, but I didn't go to the gym because I was doing the things that I didn't get done, like cleaning my kitchen, right? That's how I spent my morning. I spent my morning organizing papers and returning emails and doing all the stuff I should have been doing. Instead, I was playing a stupid game and moving meaningless things that don't even exist around on a screen for no benefit whatsoever, with nothing to show for it except my filthy kitchen. So when you look around and you see people's lives, you can say, this is the marriage addiction built. This is the career addiction built. This is the filthy kitchen addiction built. This is the out of shape body that addiction built. And we are all wallowing in the things that addiction built, which is broken things, things that we could have been dealing with if we had simply had the time, taken the time, put in the time. And at the very bottom of my realistgood.org handout, hang on, I'll read it to you. I think I have one more minute here before the show's over. I get there. I'm going to read you this. Okay, Real is Good. Wi-Fi AI. I'm going to scroll down to my little green things from my flyer. Okay. Create slop and eliminates our jobs. This is like one of 12 things on here. AI produces mountains of cheap, empty content, fake photos, fake music, fake romance. It's drowning us in meaningless slop. AI puts artists, musicians, writers, journalists, lawyers, programmers, and soon everyone else out of work. Why are we outsourcing ourselves? Do we really need more time to scroll TikTok? Do we really need more time to play stupid games when our lives are crumbling around us? Use those thousands of hours. Let's all make a commitment to use those thousands of hours better. And the first step is to say no to the bait. Next time you see the bait, say, I'm not clicking that. Can't fool me. Not going to do it. Not downloading that. All right. Catherine Albert here. I will see you guys tomorrow. And I plan to spend my evening not doing stupid stuff. Why don't you do the same? All right. Bless you. See you tomorrow.